Amen. Love, I know you want to come. You got something good for us tonight. Amen. The word is always good. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Debbie as she comes tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. So here we go. How many has been, if you wasn't here last week, you listened to last week's message. And we talked about the prayer of praise and worship and how important that prayer is, because prayer works together like fingers on a hand. There's more than one prayer. And many times when there's praise and worship, you can see the prayer of intercession or the prayer of supplications working with the prayer of praise and worship. So let's review real quick, because it's important that we understand praise and worship. Last week I briefly mentioned about your own personal private time and worship with the Lord. But tonight I want to focus more on a corporate level, as the body of Christ, when we assemble together, what all that entails, what does it look like, what is our part when we come together and assemble together. Because, you know, every single time as a church body, as believers that come together and assemble, God has always got a plan. And that praise and worship time is not a time to want to skip and say, well, I'll just sleep in and come a little bit later and slip in right before the message happens. No. We want to be here for the whole thing, because that praise and worship time prepares our hearts for what God has for you in that service, because He's got something in every single service. There are impartations of the Spirit that are happening that you may never be aware of at this very moment, but down the road you're like, that's what I received. That's what happened. That's what took place. But our hearts are need to be prepared and ready to be good receivers. We're on the receiving end, and we're on the expectant end, where we want to come with great expectation and anticipation, and it gives God the invitation. We want to come with genuine, sincere hearts. You know, the Bible says that God weighs our hearts. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie, He weighs our hearts? Well, He wants to know, and He sees whether your heart is in what you're doing. He wants to know if your heart is in what you're doing. Whether it's the praise and worship time, whether it's the time you're sitting and you're hearing the word, are you really receptive to it? Are you really open to it? Are you really desiring it, wanting it? Have you come as a God pleaser, a God worshiper, a God server? Come on now. Yeah. Where is the church today? There seems to be some casualness that has seeped in, and some laziness that has seeped in, and some, oh, come on now. We want the fire. We want the power. We want all the things like the some of the generals in the faith had when they experienced and they encountered God in His presence. I mean, I hunger, and I have a deep longing and a desire for this, for His manifested presence. And I have been in some of those times, and I can tell you, in the other church, and in the church that was at the storefront, when the presence of God came in, we were on our faces. We could not move, much less lift a hand or arm or a finger. The heaviness, the weightiness of the glory and the presence of God was there. You were afraid to move one leg. And you just laid on your face before God. It was so awesome. And you think, well, Pastor Debbie, that don't make sense. That ain't nothing. You're being changed when you're in His presence and you're lingering. You're wanting to wait on Him. You're expecting for change and you're being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Hallelujah. So the prayer of praise and worship, we found it in Psalms 22, verse 3, that God lives in, He is enthroned as the Holy One in the midst of our praises and our worship. Prayer of praise and worship is the highest prayer. Why? Because God lives in, He dwells in our praise and our worship. That's when He comes and settles down. One translation I read last week was He acts like a judge that's ready for ambush with surprise attacks against your enemy. Yeah. But He sits in the midst of the throne of our praises as the Holy One. You know, He is the Holy One, but I think sometimes we forget these things and we don't treat Him as the Holy One. We treat Him as ordinary. And it shouldn't be that way because He is a holy God. And He lives and He dwells in us. And He wants to manifest Himself to us. And not only to us, but through us. God never asked us to live for Him. He's asking us, can He live through us? Oh, let me say that again. God never asked us to live for Him. He's asking us, can He live through us? In other words, there was an exchange life that took place when you got born again. Not just a change life. I'm talking about an exchange life. You're not your own. You were bought with a great price. And you're here to represent Him on the earth as His vessel, as His instrument, as His representative, as His ambassador. I couldn't think of a greater privilege.
That's right.
You were picked, you were chosen for such a time as this. Yeah. Hand-picked by God. For this time, this day, this hour. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? He chose you to be here on the earth alive, representing Him right before He comes and raptures the church out of here. He chose you. He equipped you for this time. He anointed you for this time. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, that's the problem. You're going by feelings. Not by what the Word says. The Word says He called you, He equipped you, He anointed you for such a time as this. You've been given everything you need right here, right now, to live as a victorious one in this life and to be an example for Him on the earth. Look, oh my. Just as Jesus was in sync with the Father in thought, word, and deed, the church is to be in sync with Jesus Christ in purity, holiness. The church is to be in sync with Jesus Christ in purity, holiness. Come on now. Power and might. We want the power and everything else, but we don't want to live pure, holy lives. What's up with that? Where is the fear of God in the church today? The fear of God the real fear of God is actually you'll be afraid of ever being away from Him.
That's right. It's really good.
Oh my gosh. Just being afraid of being away from Him. Church, there's a hunger that's lacking that I've seen and encountered and experienced And that hunger needs to come back. We need to be so hungry for God and wanting Him, wanting to please Him with every ounce of our being. That nothing else matters but Him. He is the only one. He's more than anyone else and more than anything else. Our one desire. He's the lover of your soul. And remember, He's a jealous lover. Yeah. He wants to totally possess us. Yeah. You know, you talk about demon possession, but I can tell you something that's much greater than that. And that's Holy Ghost possession. Because the jealous lover that lives on the inside of you, He wants you all for Himself.
Right.
Yes. He yearns to have and take complete possession of your words, your actions, everything. Your walking, your talking, everything, so that it what brings glory to Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so when we're synchronized with Jesus and purity and holiness and power and might, you know, they asked Smith Wigglesworth one time, they said, what's the secret of your power? Because this man, it had been reported that he had 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry. Yeah. 23 people, well, that's 23 people, more than, yeah. Okay, hallelujah. And so they asked him, what was his secret? And he said, purity and holiness. The church should be so radical and fierce and hot for God that when a sinner comes in this place, they fall on their face before God crying out for repentance, a true humility. God, where is that? Where is that? It's because the people are not desiring and wanting this presence, this tangible, manifested presence that we're talked about, that when He comes and He inhabits the praises of His people, He takes up residence in our praises, and we praise Him until that manifestation of His presence shows up. What do you mean? Bringing the unseen into the seen realm, bringing the unknown into the known realm, bringing the unheard into the realm. The heard realm, where God reveals Himself to your five senses, you can actually sense that He is here.
Yes.
You don't have to guess or think so or hope so. You know He is here. Where is the hunger that you want to be so full of God, so full of God, so possessed by God? That when you walk on a train like Smith Wigglesworth would do, he would walk on a train. If it was any sinner on that train, they would fall on their faces and cry out for repentance and get their life right with God. Where are those that want to be so full of God? That were like Peter's shadow. If you put the sick people in the street and they come as close to you as your shadow and it went over them, they were healed. Where are the people that want to be so full of God in this hour, in this time, that miracles happen where you go, wherever you are, a miracle going somewhere to happen. God is just waiting for you to go, to hear His voice. To be that one. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the walking, talking, living, breathing, pulsating body of Jesus Christ on the earth today. And He wants to express His full heart desire for this world that he died for, but he needs a body that's yielded to him that he can express himself through to show his love, his compassion. God's, the Father's love for people is more than we can even fathom with these minute brains. He loves us so much. He loves humanity. And the greater the revelation you get of the Father's love for people, the greater he will use you in it, using you to from leading people to the Lord, laying hands on the sick. As the body of Christ, as you be in that temple, that hunger needs to be stirred up in us so that when we come together and we're desiring and wanting the same thing, God never shows up where he's not invited and never wanted. But I'm telling you, when there is a persistent worship and a heart hunger, an insistent hunger for him, wanting him and nothing else and no one else but him, I'm telling you, it gives him the invitation. Church, we got to start looking like the church and acting like the church. Amen. Who you were called to be, the triumphant church. So when it comes to the prayer of praise and worship, we looked at last week in Revelation chapter 8 and in verses 3 through 5, how the angel came down and he had a censer that was full of the worship of the saints, and he mixed it with the prayers of the saints. And he took it and he laid it before the throne of God. The worship of the saints, the prayers of the saints. He took those two censers and he laid it before the throne of God. And it says that it had a great impact because the angels took and they returned to the earth the answers from the worship and the praises of the people, of the saints of God, it said. And it said when it was sent back, thrown back to the earth with the answers, how powerful and impactful those answers were, because it said there were quakes, there were lightnings, there were thunderings. It wasn't something that was weak. It was impactful, powerful. It made a great impact. So when we get to know more and more the importance of when we assemble as a body, when we assemble as believers, we come on purpose. We come with one heart, one mind, one accord, one heart. We're here to give him the one and only one who's worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor, to give him our highest, our best. Not just something that's half-hearted. Your heart is not in it. Maybe you're just here and this is, you know, you're just learning this. That's great. We want you to learn that. Right. You're hearing it for the first time, and praise God. Yeah. There's no condemnation.
That's right.
But we come on purpose.
Yes. Right.
We come because we have an appointment with God Almighty. If we can learn to hold an audience with him 24/7, whew, oh my gosh, just learning to please one and hold an audience with him all the time. Our heart's desire makes a difference. And when our heart is in it, Remember I said this last week, worship is the main course a true waiter serves a divine customer.
Really good.
Yeah. You are atmosphere shifters. When we worship together as a body of believers, as we assemble together on purpose and we worship God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that He knows that what you're doing, what you're bringing before Him, it's heartfelt, it's sincere, it's real. You're giving Him all you know. It draws Him. An atmosphere, we want to create an atmosphere of intimacy, of passionate praise and worship from fervent hearts for God. If you're not on fire yourself for God, then your prayers will not be on fire.
Right.
Fired up, hot, right. Fervent. Come on now. We want our prayers to be fervent. We want our prayers to be hot. But we have to be on fire ourselves. Hallelujah. John Wesley made this statement. He said, I set myself on fire so that others can come and watch me burn. Yeah, he sets himself on fire so that others would come and watch him burn. We want an atmosphere of intimacy that brings a divine habitation. In other words, His manifested presence. It's bringing the unseen into the seen realm, bringing the unknown into the known realm, bringing the unheard into the heard realm, where He reveals Himself to our senses and we know God is here. We want to create a throne zone right here on the earth. If we go in our Bibles to Psalms 24, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. Psalms 24. I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 10. Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10, Amplified Version. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors. Well, let's talk about the church. The church is the one that can open doors and gates so the rest of the world can have an encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, so lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Well, this first King of Glory in verse 7 is talking about heavy with an abundance of riches. Woo, glory to God. So when the church assembles and the church praises and worships God, there are gates that are open. There are doors that are open so the world can have an encounter with God Himself. And it says that the King of Glory may come in. So this King of Glory is heavy with an abundance of riches. And then it goes on to say, verse 8, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. This Lord of Glory here in verse 8 means too powerful to be defeated or ever overcome. Woo, glory, that's the God that we serve. Woo, too powerful to be defeated or ever to be overcome. Never, ever. Woo, glory, He is the what? All-powerful one, omnipotent, all-powerful one. There is no power greater than the power that the God that we serve. Woo, hallelujah. Verse 9, it says, in verse 8 it says, let me go back and finish that. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Woo, yes he is. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O you gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Verse 10, who is he then, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This King of glory means he is he is the Lord of a host of warring angels that are ready to do warfare. That he is a man of war. Our God, the God that we serve, he is a man of war. He is a mighty warrior, the Bible says. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. It says he is a man of war, the Lord our God. Hallelujah. And yes, when we come together as a church, yes, we want to worship him in spirit and in truth with our whole hearts. So we want the King of glory to show up. Hallelujah. We want him to show up with an abundance of heavy, with an abundance of riches, and where he's a mighty warrior in our midst and too powerful to come on now. Oh my gosh. And we find ourselves complaining and murmuring because we got to be at church and we oh my gosh, 10 o'clock, the doors, the service is going to start. No. We need to start coming in here, glory to God, running down the aisle saying, glory to God. Today is my appointment with God and I'm coming to please him. I'm coming to worship him. Excited about your appointment with him. Look, when a young bride is preparing for her wedding, there are certain appointments that bride has to make and keep. And she makes sure that she doesn't miss not one appointment, whether it's with the photographer, whether it's with the dress of a person that's making alterations on her dress, whether it's with the flower people, getting the arrangements of how she wants the flowers. She never misses those appointments. But yet when it comes to church and our appointment with God, where are the people? We should be excited and know this is my appointment with God. I am not going to miss my appointment. This might be a night when the Holy Spirit is getting something imparted into me that I need for next week, next year, tomorrow. Hallelujah. You forget about yourself and you start thinking about him. Hallelujah. We're so self-focused. We got to get off ourselves and start focusing on him, the one and only lover of our soul. Glory to God. Thank you. That enthusiasm and that excitement, that passion and fervency in our hearts for him. Nothing else matters. No one, nothing. This so pleases him. Amen. He desires this. He wants this appointment with you more than you want it with him. But now let's get more excited and let him know that we want this appointment with him. We understand the importance of it and our coming together. That's why the Bible, it didn't say meet together. It said assemble. There's a big difference. That means there are parts out here. And every part needs to be here in order to make this thing function and at its highest level that God wants to move, work, and oh my gosh, here we go. Brother Hagin would share when there were times when the church, when he would go to all his some of his services when he was pastoring churches, and the people would get together in one accord in their worship. And they begin to praise and worship God in prayer. He said when they in the midst of that, it was literally as if the building was shaking. He said he experienced that. He was in that, like the building itself was literally shaking. It was so much power that was made available. Why? Because the people were desiring and wanting the same thing. They were hungry for the same thing, expecting and looking for. God, have your way. Move, do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Get me out of the way. Smith Wigglesworth, he would go around and say, filled with God, filled with God, emptied of self, filled with God. He didn't want nothing about himself in the way at all. He wanted to be so full of God, God possessed. I have to read this about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, he's so awesome. His primary job, the Holy Spirit, is to help us grow as Christians, to help us witness, to help us in our worship, to help us understand God's word, that he loves us so much as our indweller, as our sealer, as our sanctifier, our power, that it's all directed for us and to us because of we are the object of his love and affection. As a divine lover who lives inside of us, his love and affection are set single-heartedly on us. He passionately yearns to fulfill his responsibility to the Father to help teach God and empower us. The Holy Spirit's intense desire is to possess and fill us. And this means, that word in the Greek means, the Holy Spirit wants more and more of us. When it comes to you and me, he can never get enough. Think about that. When it comes to you and me, he can never get enough. And when things begin to take his place in our lives, and you begin to give attention to other things that takes his place, he can be grieved. Because that's his place. It was intended to be his place. And so when these other things seep in our lives, I mean, look, we're living in an age of distractions. The devil trying to throw Scud missiles at us all the time. What do you mean Scud missiles, Pastor Debbie? Satan continuously using distractions. That's what I mean. S-C-U-D, making it up. Acronym. Satan continually using distractions in our lives. This pops up, that pops up. Well, I got to do this. Well, I got to take care of this. I need to do. What about church? And taking care of your spiritual life first. Because everything else is going to flow out of your relationship with God the Father. And if you're weak on your relationship with him, everything else will be weak. Everything else. And you wonder why you got problems. Come on now. Come on. So in our praise and worship, we want to create that atmosphere of intimacy, of divine habitation, where he comes and manifests his power, his glory, his presence. We need to give, excuse me, we need to give God persistent worship and insistent hunger that refuses to let up or give up until he shows up. And remember, the unity among us The size of our unity determines the size of His presence. The more that we are in one accord when we do assemble together, that we're not distracted, though we've come on purpose, that's to meet with Him, our Creator, our Maker, our lover of our soul. We come to praise Him for what He's done for us, but worship Him for who He is. Jack Hayford made this statement. He said, "Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped." You begin to look more and more like Him. So that one accord, being one mind, one heart, one purpose. Let's think about this for a minute. Learning to honor and respect when it comes to the Father and Him wanting to move, work, and do what He wants to do. So when we get here in the mornings, or get here in the evenings, or for the services on Sunday, we should be wanting to be here on time. That shows an excitement and enthusiasm about the one you're getting ready to. Amen. Love with all your heart. And then what about in the praise and worship time? We need to be focused. We need to be centered on Him. Yes, people can be coming and going, but just make sure you're not one of them.
That's right.
What about during the altar call? Oh, there's a lot of moving, people going up, getting out of the seats. I'm talking about we're learning to respect what God what honors Him.
Yeah.
When God is working and moving, our hearts should be tuned in prayerfully and praying at those given moments. When the Spirit is moving, Pastor Chris is giving an altar call, and you know the Spirit of God is dealing with hearts. You should be praying for the people in front of you, the people behind you, the people beside you. You don't know where they stand with God necessarily.
That's right. Good word.
But if we're keeping that a reverent attitude and a heart that's in the prayer mode, where we're praying about these things and not being irreverent when God is working and moving. The pastor being led by the Holy Ghost, we should be praying for him. He's the one that's set in authority in the church under the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be praying that he's hearing, that he's following the leading of the Holy Ghost. And when he begins to move and work and flow with the Holy Ghost, what does that mean for you? You're tuned in prayerfully and you're praying in your seat for all those around you, that whatever call invitation he gives, people are responding and they're getting the help they need. Good day in the morning. So our unity as a church, when we come together and assemble, makes a big difference. Fervent hearts, hearts that are on fire for God. That's one thing I want to read real quick. Fervent hearts, hearts that are on fire for God. When we get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. The third person of the Trinity. Do you know that the most common symbol of the third person of the Trinity in the Bible was the symbol of fire? What was that fire purpose for? He's the purifier. To purify our lives. So when we get baptized with the Holy Ghost, it puts the fire of God in us. Listen to some of these things that it does. It says it causes a high spiritual temperature, inflamed by the Holy Ghost, to be fiery hot, having living fervor. It's the opposite of cold, unemotional, and dignified. It's the opposite of cold, unemotional, and dignified. Well, I don't know, Pastor Debbie. I can't do that. Who are you doing it for? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. He said to come into his presence with thanksgiving. Holy hands lifted high. Hallelujah. He said you can bring a shout. You can bring a dance. Glory to God. It's all biblical. It's all good. No, I couldn't do that. Well, you just learn to find out what the Word says. And as you give yourself to him more and more and more, as you yield, as you surrender yourself to him, as you abandon yourself to him for him to have his way through you, the more that you get over yourself. And you don't care about what others think. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I was saying, going back to where I was saying a few minutes ago about Brother Hagin and some of the services that he was in, he would say sometimes the wind of God would come in through one side of the building, blow through the whole congregation and go out the other side. And he said when that wind went through, it was a literal wind. And when it got through the other side, he said every sinner was up here at the altar. Every backslider was up here at the altar. And every sick person was healed. They don't even know how they got here. They got up there. They got translated in the wind when the wind blew through. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come back up. And they got a couple of songs for us to end on tonight. As we praise and worship God. Hallelujah. We want to create that divine habitation. Yeah. Thank you. Praise God.